Here in New England, we have a weakness for real maple syrup. I've been known to carry it in case I'm confronted with a waffle, in which case you don't want that watered-down supermarket version. Real maple syrup costs 13 times the price of crude oil and trades at $32 a gallon. So a story in Bloomberg Businessweek caught our eye. It was about the Great Canadian Maple Syrup Heist, the largest agricultural theft ever. Millions of gallons of maple syrup, worth about $18 million, stolen from the Federation of Quebec Maple Syrup Producers. Brendan Burrell wrote the story. He joins us with more. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And you know, one thing we learn is we mentioned how real maple syrup is important to us. How important is it in Canada to Canadians?
Well, I mean, it's not the most financially important product there in terms of agriculture, but it is something they're very passionate about. The prime minister takes, you know, the best maple syrup when he goes abroad, and they've got a smorgasbord of maple products that they're proud of. You know, you can get maple vinaigrette, maple pork rub, and even maple perfume, as I learned during my trip.
Yeah. Your story starts about 2 hours northeast of Montreal in a reserve, a big warehouse filled with barrels of maple syrup where this theft was discovered. Why was it there, and what happened there? What was the discovery?
Well, the reason it was there is because Quebec has developed this stockpile of syrup. They call it their global strategic stockpile. This is to help stabilize prices. They had about 16,000 barrels in there from the previous season, and it wasn't until they opened the doors this year that they began to realize that there was some syrup missing.
No, not just missing. I mean, barrels were empty. Some were filled with water. How many trucks would have taken to take that much maple syrup out?
It would have taken more than 100 tractor trailers. It's about 6 million pounds of syrup.
Let's explain what this organization was, the Federation of Quebec Maple Syrup Producers, which was stockpiling that syrup, and the politics behind that. Tell us more about that, which led people to where the syrup went.
Well, the Federation's been around for a long time. See, the thing is with syrup production is you only get about 20 or 25 days at the end of winter when the trees are producing sap. And so historically, this created this huge glut in the syrup market, and it was a real problem for producers. And so over the years, they started banding together and saying, okay, well, we're going to try to save our syrup. We're going to sell, you know, dole it out over the course of the year. And then they began to get even more organized, setting up a marketing board to start promoting syrup abroad. And eventually, in 2002, they said, we need to have a quota system. We need to be a cartel, essentially like OPEC, and very tightly control this syrup. And this is kind of where things began to get intriguing.
Unravel. Because there are people who don't want to be part of the Federation. They might get a bigger cut by going through other sellers, or they're just independent-minded. This brings us to Étienne St-Pierre, a 69-year-old widower in Kedgwick, New Brunswick. So how is he helping syrup producers circumvent the Federation?
Well, it's not just that people don't want to be a part of the Federation, but you can't always be a producer. Even if you have land with maple trees on it, unless the Federation has given you an allocation, you're not allowed to produce syrup. And then there's also people who, for one reason or another, want to produce more syrup or produce more syrup during the course of the year, and they have a bunch of extra syrup that they need to unload. This is where St. Pierre comes in, because he is a willing buyer. He lives in New Brunswick, and New Brunswick has a different system. They have a free market system. Producers there can make as much as they want, and whoever wants to buy it can buy it. And so St. Pierre took advantage of this, and he said, hey, if you guys over in Quebec happen to have too much syrup, we'll bring it over to New Brunswick, and I will buy it. I'll keep your name confidential, and I'll give you a great price, and I'll pay you very promptly.
And so, just to be clear, was what he was doing illegal, unethical?
Well, this is an ongoing legal dispute. What he was doing was certainly not criminal at that time. He was violating a civil law. The Federation had gotten approval from the Quebec province to be kind of the body that determines the rules in the marketing of syrup. And so they can sue St. Pierre in civil court. And he's been battling them for 4 years now.
But why would police be going to them having to do with the theft?
Well, St. Pierre was a major buyer. And I think what happened in the course of the investigation is the police began to ask everybody in the industry and figured out who was selling a bunch of syrup. And then they went around, and that's how they ended up at St. Pierre's place.
So that's an open-ended question, whether or not what St. Pierre was doing on a daily basis was illegal. But we still have this missing syrup, and that brings us to Richard Valliere. He's a so-called barrel roller, an unauthorized middleman. He'd been selling syrup to St. Pierre for years. Why is he a suspect in this case? Why did police go to him?
Actually, that's not entirely clear to me. I met Valliere when I was there in November before he was arrested. His syrup had been seized, and he admitted that he had a facility and he was purchasing syrup in this underground market. These are producers who were going around the Federation. But he told me I had nothing to do with the theft. And at this point, the police have not released what data they had or what interviews they had which led them to Valliere and ultimately to St. Pierre.
So right now there are allegations and charges against both men and other suspects in this case. But in the grand scheme of things, what has this meant to the Canadian maple syrup industry?
Well, I think this is a huge threat to the Federation system, and it's a bit of an embarrassment, right? I mean, they have been trying to control this market so long and in so many different ways, but it's such a difficult thing to do. I mean, you have to launch these internal investigations they have. They have their own undercover agents who go out and make sure people aren't producing more than they say they are. And they are also trying to control prices so tightly. And so they need to ensure the loyalty of producers. And the thought was this strategic reserve was kind of the final step they needed. They would cement their grip on the market for many years to come. And when you find out that they weren't taking as many precautions as they needed to take in order to provide security to all this syrup, well, that's going to make a lot of people upset.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, and whoever took the, you know, there are allegations, but whoever really took that syrup, all that syrup, 100 tractor trailers filled with it, are they considered something, you know, sort of renegade folk heroes in Canada, or is it going to be bad news when it's actually shown who actually did it? You know, are they villains?
Well, that's a tough one. I have to say I did not meet anybody who said these people are heroes. I met people who said we don't like the Federation and the people who stole it probably also have a grudge against the Federation. The fact is they are criminals and they did steal the syrup. St. Pierre is a little more complicated of a case. He's not charged directly with the theft, but he did end up with the syrup, and we don't know at this point how much he knew. And I personally see him as a bit of a hero for his cause, which is the free market. You know, St. Pierre does have a point. He does live in New Brunswick, and he has a right to make a living.
Well, we'll see how this plays out. Brendan Burrell of Bloomberg Businessweek. You'll find a link to his story, The Great Canadian Maple Syrup Heist, at herenow.org. Brendan, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And up next, a dime museum is a Victorian word for a sideshow, often lurid or sensational. That helps describe our indescribable next guest as well. Get ready for Timor and the Dime Museum. That's in 1 minute, here and now.